It is the Garden Hotline on a gorgeous Saturday morning in September. I'm Scott Jagow, happy to be joined by Jeff and Robert from the Horseman Brothers Landscaping. Guys, it's been a few weeks.
Yeah.
Good to see you.
Yeah. Good to be back. Good to be back.
All right. So we're going to talk some gardening, some landscaping. It's a little different when you're in the middle of the summer than we're literally on the doorstep of fall
tomorrow.
In a few hours.
Yeah, tomorrow.
So let's get to that. What do we need to be thinking about as fall arrives tomorrow?
Well, actually, start looking at your gardens but keep watering. We are still in a drought. We still need to keep everything watered now. But start looking at your perennials, cut back your perennials, and clean the leaves out of your beds. You know, there are leaves on the ground now already because it's been so dry.
Yeah, I would say, Scott, that like Robert was saying, really right now it's all about water. You know, we need to be slow soaking the shrubs and trees, you know, and if you can water the grass, great. I mean, if you don't have an irrigation system, I know that's sometimes a challenge, but it is. It's extremely dry. It's also really key time of year. We're still in a good window for seeding lawns, you know, that need help, but you got to be able to provide the water for them. That's the key thing right now.
All right, specifics. Slow soaking. What exactly does that entail? How much water are we talking about? How do you measure it? Is it by the time, the amount of water?
Yeah, for like lawns, the rule of thumb is an inch of water per week. And like you can set your sprinklers and, you know, the old fashioned way is to get a tin can, put it in the middle of your yard and measure what 15 minutes of watering will do. And then if you can kind of figure that out and how, if you're going to be able to get an inch of water per week, but it's been so dry, I would up that a little bit.
Yeah.
I would too. Right now it is really dry. Also, like with the, say, your landscape plants, you know, heading into winter, we do not want shrubs and trees, you know, dry going into winter. So especially critical on your evergreen shrubs and trees, you know, they need a thorough soaking. So with that, Scott, the best thing to do is literally park the hose up under the canopy of the shrub and let it trickle, you know, maybe half hour per bush, you know, unless it's a new, you know, like a little new plant, and that might only take 5 minutes or 10 minutes, you know, but you want to get them well soaked and really once a week, wouldn't you think, Robert, is
at least
good recommendation for
yeah,
that?
Yeah, at least. And then when you do that long soak, if the water's running off the plant, that means it's wet enough. And then move over to the next plant, but then come back later and do it again. So that water really gets down deep into the ground. It's called like syringe watering, where you water it a little bit, go to the next plant, and come back and do it again, and that'll pull that water deeper into the root system.
All right, I forgot to give out the phone number to call in and ask questions. That's what this show is all about. It is 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. We also do have an 800 number. You have to dial one before it, 1-800-925-1120. And the whole idea here is to ask your questions of Robert and Jeff. They're experts in the industry. They know they have many, many years of seasoning in the gardening world and landscaping. So pretty much whatever you want to ask, they can answer. So let's start with our first phone call. Bill, you are on the Garden Hotline. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning. I put in a fringe tree about in May. It was about 6 foot tall. I have been soaking it about every 4 days, giving it a good soak, just putting a trickle on there. But I think I may be overwatering it. Starting about a few days ago, it's got a lot of brown spots on the leaves, and I don't know if I'm overwatering or if there's something else going on. Do you have a suggestion?
Sure, Bill. I think, you know, brown spots on any kind of ornamental tree or shrub could be a sign of several different things. We have, even though you're watering it, we've had a lot of really hot weather and even a few weeks ago, very low humidity. It could have actually gotten a little dry at some point, even though you're watering it. The other issue, it could have even maybe caught some kind of foliar fungus. That's always a possibility. Hard to tell that without seeing the plant itself. I will tell you this, though, that that tree, the fringe tree, is going to be, it's right now, it's trying to slow down and get ready for the winter. I'm not sure the brown spots are much to worry about right now. I think the main thing you got to do is, like we said earlier, just maybe figure once a week, giving it a good drink heading into winter. And I'd do that through, you know, unless we get really wet, I would do that through November.
Okay, so I shouldn't be alarmed and stop watering.
No. Once a week, though. I mean, you were saying every 4 days or so. You know. I think right now, just a good water, you know, once a week would be great.
Okay.
You know, and
outstanding.
Those are pretty tough plants, actually. So hopefully, it should be all right. The only other thing I could think of is if it's newly planted, just make sure also that it's not planted too deep. You know, you don't want soil up above the root flare and or too much mulch on it either. I don't know what you got going there, but
yeah, I think I'm okay there.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
All right, thanks for calling in with your question, Bill. Next, we'll go to Kelly. You're on the Garden Hotline.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I have a lawn service that's coming out at the end of the month to core aerate and overseed. And I'm just wondering if I need to water ahead of time. My lawn is very dry and very dead. Would it help to water a bit this week before they come, or should I just trust that they'll come and do their thing?
Kelly, that would be great if you can water ahead. And it might, like Robert said earlier, it's going to take, it might take several waterings to get it hydrated up enough that soil below the surface is, you know, moist enough that the aeration machine can do its job. You know, you want to get a nice, you know, 2-inch core at least, or 1.5 to 2-inch core, you know, to do much good. So anyway, it needs to be, doesn't need to be flooded, but it just needs to be nice and moist below the surface there. And then once they seed it, you then, you know, you need to keep that seed damp for, you know, at least a couple of weeks. And right now with the warm weather, we've had, the soil temperatures are warm. If you're able to keep it, the seed moist, you know, not flooded, but just moist, you know, for, it's really germinating in about 5 to 7 days. You know, we're seeing, you know, seeds cracking and baby grass coming up. So, but it's all about keeping it damp.
Yeah, they've given me the schedule of watering, their recommendation for after the work is done. But listening to you all this morning, it just dawned on me, maybe I need to do something ahead of time. And then St. Louis weather, we know how it is. It'll be 90 in November. Is it necessary to maintain that watering schedule as long as temperatures are over a certain point?
Yes, absolutely. Keep watering until the ground's frozen. Actually, it's you can never overwater now because our air is so dry right now.
Well, and you know, we have to use common sense. You know, if we would get into who knows? I mean, it can go from dry to really heavy rain. We had that in, you know, July. You know, but anyway, if it gets wet, you just got to use common sense. There's no sense to add more water if it's already, you know, really wet. But yeah, like Robert was saying, that heading into winter, it's good to keep everything hydrated. You know, a couple of years ago when we had that real bad cold snap in late December, a lot of plants had a lot of trouble, and part of that wasn't just the cold, it was because they were so dry, you know, going into that cold. So water is very important.
All right, Kelly, thanks so much for your call this morning on the Garden Hotline, which is 314-436-7900. Jeff and Robert from Horstman Brothers, they are answering your questions, and we will get right back to the phones in just a moment. Thanks for tuning in to the Garden Hotline on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX. I'm Scott Jagow. Happy to be joined this week by Jeff and Robert from Horstman Brothers, answering your calls at 314-436-7900. Up next, Betty, you are on the Garden Hotline.
I'm soaking mature trees with a soaker hose, and I'm putting it out around the drip line. Can you tell me how deep that should be soaked? And I'm talking large trees.
Again, you know, try to get that 1 inch per week, rule of thumb. You know, I would.
I'd like to know. I have heard it should be that I can put a screwdriver or something down in there as far as 6 inches. Does that sound like a good enough soak?
Yeah, because, you know, the hair roots of the large trees are 8 to 10 inches deep. But yeah, if you can stick a screwdriver in the ground and it's still moist, you're doing a good job. Yeah, that's a nice.
One other question: I have some wild honeysuckle, and I was told that I could spray it in October, and it would kill it. Is that true?
Betty, with the honeysuckle and spraying it, you know, you would. A couple things. One, if you're going to spray like the leaves with a, non-selective post-emergent like Roundup or...
brush killer.
Yeah. Well, okay. So brush killer, you know, what you can do. So first of all, if it has the leaves on it and you spray it to the leaves, it should absorb it. But of course, the honeysuckle's, like most things, it's getting ready to go dormant for the year as well. So your best luck with that honeysuckle would be to actually lop it off or saw it off, you know, at the ground, basically, and then use the brush killer on the stump.
Okay. Thank you.
And it should translocate it down to the roots, and you should get a good kill. Mm.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for the call, Betty. Next, we have Kirk. You are on the Garden Hotline with Jeff and Robert.
Good morning. I planted a tree for a friend last spring. It was a dogwood, and it was doing fine. But I haven't. I went back the other day to look at it, and the wind apparently had blown it over a little bit. Can I straighten that tree up, or should I wait till it's dormant, or can I put some stakes in the ground and try to pull it up a little without damaging it?
Yeah, I would try to straighten it up, you know, dig around it. If it's, you know, been newly planted, you know, within the last year, you know, dig around and try to, instead of like pulling it, try to move the root ball with it, you know, and then pack it in and water it in good.
Yeah,
and get some,
and wait till it goes dormant, right?
Well, you can. But put some root stimulator on there with it.
I used that fungus stimulator when I planted it, and that helps. That's really good stuff.
There is a root stimulator fertilizers that you can get, and that really helps get those roots going. And, you know, when you move a tree, because you're going to damage some of the hair roots and everything when you do that, and that'll just kind of get the roots going again.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for the call, Kirk. Let's go next to Chuck. You're on the Garden Hotline.
Yeah, hi. My wife and I, about 4 years ago, planted milkweed for monarch butterflies. And last fall, I put some black-eyed Susans in. And this spring, the black-eyed Susans, they're taking over that whole area, and they're squeezing out the milkweed. And it's actually jumped over the sidewalk and grown in different places. How do I get rid of it?
Dig it out. I mean, that's the easiest way to get rid of it. Dig it out, and you could, you know, move it to different parts of the yard. But some of the Rebecca, they'll uh, they'll really start spreading on you.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But well, I would dig them up. At the, you know, they are good pollinators, so if you could, different parts of the yard to move it, I would move, just dig them up and move them around. You could do that now.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for your question this morning. We will go next to Gloria. You're on the Garden Hotline with Robert and Jeff.
Hi. I have realized that my back patio and the surrounding beds are maybe infested with either mold or scale. I'm not exactly sure, but I've realized, oh my gosh, a lot of the plants, the leaves have turned dark and withered and died. And I've been using spottily different sprays, but now I'm realizing, wow, I think it's all over. We've had such a humid summer, and unfortunately, sometimes I've watered at night. So my concern is, even if I treat the plants and get rid of the diseased leaves and parts, I'm concerned about the stone and the brick. Should I have them power wash, and with what? That wouldn't necessarily hurt the grass or the things that are in the bed. What's your advice on that?
Well, they do have paver cleaners and stone cleaners. I wouldn't use bleach because that's a little bit kind of a little harsh. But they have like paver enhancers and paver sealers. But I would do the paver cleaner. I mean, all the box stores will have it. And power wash as much as you can off it. And you just get a pump sprayer, spray that cleaner on there, let it sit for a minute, and just hose it all off. It should work.
And it's made so that it doesn't hurt the grass around?
Yeah, that's why you don't want to use like a bleach or it's made for, around plant material. And like the house cleaners, those that might work also, because that's designed for, dripping down onto the plant material.
House cleaners, I'm not sure what you mean by that.
Well, you know how the people, they have the house cleaners where they spray on the siding and then they hose it all off?
Right, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's made. And, well, I was even thinking, I've been looking up a lot of DIY stuff, and so what about diluted vinegar? What about something, baking soda? Because I'm not sure if it's mold, if it's scale, and then the scale leaves the honeydew that then attracts the mold.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Folder. Whatever it is.
It also could be the calcium buildup that's coming out of the concrete of the brick. You know, if your pavers are brick, it could be, calcium coming out of the brick. Effervescence is called. It's just a.
So, okay.
Hey, Gloria. So, is this the case? You're saying that the plants are dripping onto the pavers, or what exactly is going on?
Realizing, so my mom was a great gardener, and she's passed, but and I'm trying. So she has rose bushes that are lined with some, I forget what plant this is, but something that like kind of invades the whole the bed, and I pull it out except for around the edging. But then I've got like hydrangeas and hibiscus and even a tomato plant that just seemed to suddenly wither. And so I know that it's an insect or fungus or mold or a combination of things. And so it's just all throughout the backyard. But then I've thought, well, I can spray a 4-in-1, you know, fungicide, miticide, something that deals with all of this stuff, insecticide. But then I realized, well, the stone itself might have the stuff on it. So do I need to get rid of that to keep the plants healthy?
You know, I don't really think the patio is the source of the problem or going to be the source of next year's problem. So I would tell you, I think the key thing with the plants is, you know, they may look bad now. Obviously, the tomatoes probably shot and done. Any of the roses and shrubs, you know, roses, you know, I would tell you probably cut them back, you know, down to about 18 inches and make sure you haul away the debris and do a good job cleaning it up in case it is harboring any kind of fungus or bug, insect. You know, but right now most of the plants are really going to go dormant again for the season. And the key thing would be just good hygiene, cleaning them up, making sure we don't have a lot of infested leaves or anything laying around. I think that would be the key thing for you there, Gloria.
Yeah, that's good advice, Jeff. Robert also here from the Horstman Brothers answering your questions. 314-436-7900. We will continue in just a moment on the Garden Hotline. Sorry, I was getting caught up in the song. I love Dire Straits. This is the Garden Hotline. I'm Scott, along with Jeff and Robert. They're from Horstman Brothers. They're the ones who can answer your questions about landscaping and gardening and heading into fall, which starts tomorrow. So let's get back to the phones. The number is 314-436-7900. Kim, you're up next on the Garden Hotline.
Good morning. I have an oak tree that it's a white oak. It's about 2.5 feet in diameter, and it is missing a large piece of bark, probably about 1 foot wide and maybe 2 feet long. And what can I do to help that tree, or do I need to have somebody look at it for why it came off, or what can you tell me?
Is there evidence of new bark kind of curling over on the edges for like it's kind of healing itself, or did it just happen?
No, I'm building a home, and there hasn't been a lot of activity in that area for years. So I don't know how long this tree has been like this. And it's more so going to pull away. The more bark, it looks like it's pulling away versus trying to heal itself.
Yeah, usually a wound like that will heal over, you know, gradually. That's what Robert was talking about. And usually you will see new bark forming along the edges of where the old bark was. If you get in there and you say it's trying to keep peeling away, are there insects underneath there, like thinking ants or something maybe?
I see an ant here or there, but I looked around the ground to see if there was like an ant hill or anything, and I didn't find anything.
Okay. And is the wood where the wound is underneath there, is it still really good and hard, or is it decaying and soft, or what?
No, it's good and hard. It's weathered, like it's been like this for maybe a year or so. I don't know, but you know how bark's kind of gray? Well, that wood's taken on a gray look also.
Well, so in general, though, I do know this, or I can tell you, it's not recommended to put any kind of sealer or anything like that on that situation. As Robert was saying, the tree should try to heal over. Obviously, if there's an insect issue, we would want to deal with that, you know. In general, though, if there's no insects, the best thing, too, is to physically cut away any loose bark. You don't want the loose bark left on there, and hopefully it will heal over. What's the health of the rest of the, does the canopy of the tree look good? The size of the leaves good?
Other than where some of the cicadas, that the female cicada chews on that and that little end dies, there's probably 4, maybe 5 places like that. The canopy is huge. Everything else looks good, but and lots of acorns. Man, there's a lot of acorns up there. But other than that one spot.
Yeah, I would just take all that loose bark away and, get to where the good bark is, and, cause that'll keep the insects from hiding, behind there and everything. And it should heal itself, and it'll be a while, and it'll always be there, but I think you're okay.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll get up there and get that loose bark taken off, because I know there is some loose bark on there.
Yeah, take that off.
So I just didn't know if it was good to do that or not. So.
Yes, you can.
Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Kim, for calling in. Mark, you're on the Garden Hotline.
Well, good morning, and thank you for taking my call. I've got some blackberry plants in my backyard, and there's a lot of Bermuda grass and other kind of weeds growing around the periphery of them, and I didn't know if it was okay to spray those grasses and weeds with Roundup or something. Will that leach into the blackberries at all?
Hey, Mark, the issue there would be, like I said, with specifically like Roundup, okay? So as long as you don't actually spray active foliage on that blackberry, it should be okay. So you're going to have to be very careful and spray the grass right along the bottom and just make sure you don't spray any foliage on the blackberry. Roundup is not absorbed and translocated through the roots, so it only really kills what it comes in contact with on a foliage situation.
So what goes on to
let me say this, though. Your situation, like you're describing a Bermuda, and that stuff's tough. It's going to probably come back anyway, and it's coming from further away, right out in your yard. So I would actually probably start with hand weeding it out around the blackberries and remove it physically, and then maybe on the periphery where it's starting to creep in, if you get yourself a good 2 foot or something area away from the blackberries, then go ahead and spray it at that point. Would probably be the safest way to do it.
Yeah, it's a little more tedious, but
and don't do it with any spray on a windy day. Do it calm, on a calm day, and be sure you direct the spray down on the ground, at the grassy weeds or the weed and the grass, and you should be all right. But I would physically try to remove the weeds and grass away from the blackberries that you're trying to keep healthy.
And that Bermuda is kind of going dormant now anyway, so it really won't accept that poison as much. So physically, you'd probably be best to get it out of there.
Does the poison that doesn't attach to the grasses or weeds, does that go into the ground?
No,
stay there?
Not Roundup, no.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you for the call. The number is 314-436-7900. That is the Garden Hotline. Next up, we have Chris. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call, and thanks for all the guests who've kept the Garden Hotline going during Mike's absence.
Thank you for saying that. Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, I have two questions for you. One is, I am got a Daphne bush, and it's beautiful, but we planted it in a wrong place, and it's getting big now. It's almost knee high. I've heard they're kind of finicky about moving. Do you think when it goes dormant in the fall, the chance of success would be good moving it, or I don't want to kill it moving it? And then the other question I have is, the front of my yard is on a slope from the street, and when it rains really hard, it gets like quite a bit of water runoff.
I'm looking at something to put right at the front of my yard where it borders the street, something that grows low, no more than a couple of inches, that might help absorb water. I didn't know if I should put a sedum there or ivy there, something low growing that would help with the water runoff.
You can move that Daphne when it goes dormant. Do it, you know, right at dormancy. That would be good. And then there's several ground covers for, you know, Pachysandra is a good one if you get a little bit of shade.
Real low, nothing that grows up high.
Yeah, Pachysandra's, you know, only a couple inches tall.
Is it sunny or shady?
It gets afternoon sun.
Pachysandra should work there.
Yeah. Yeah, that might work. Yeah. Or liriope, you know, could work.
Yeah, I've got that clump liriope down at the bottom to help absorb the water.
Yeah, I would say that's a thick.
But I need a second step now. I need something more at the top. I'll look into the Pachysandra.
Yeah,
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I think that'll be your guess. Yeah.
All right, you get answers when you call into the Garden Hotline. Today it's Jeff and Robert taking your calls. They're from the Horstman Brothers. They've been on before, and we've had really good shows. This is another one. The number is 314-436-7900. We're going to continue with your phone calls in just a moment. Stay tuned. It is the Garden Hotline on the precipice of fall, which starts tomorrow. Robert and Jeff are here from the Horstman Brothers to answer your questions on the Garden Hotline, which is 314-436-7900. The next person to ask a question is Gerald. Good morning, Gerald.
Good morning. How's everybody doing?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, just fine. This spring, the wife and I purchased two azalea plants. We got one of them in the ground. The other one we never got into the ground, but it's done well in the pot because I fertilized and stuff. Is this a good time to plant that plant?
Yeah. And so we were just talking about azaleas, and you know, the best way to plant an azalea, and this is like the old-fashioned way, is to, when you get it out of the pot, is really rough up those roots. They're going to be real, real hairy, real tiny.
Yeah.
Just get a pocket knife or a fork, actually, and go around that root ball and really rough those roots up real good. And then when you plant that really high. They like to be planted really almost halfway in the ground and then mound up a bunch of sphagnum peat moss around it. And you'll have nothing but success with that if you do it that way. But it's an old-fashioned way, but the sphagnum peat moss, that loose peat moss, because they really like acidic soil. So you'll have good success with that.
Robert, how do you keep that peat moss from washing away?
Yeah, put some mulch on top, and you know, get it moist. You know, get it nice and wet when you're mounding it up around that root ball. But really rough those roots up. That really helps get that plant started.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we planted azaleas before, and they'd always die out on us. But then we found out that one trick that's really helped this year was giving some of that Miracle-Grow with acid in it, and that's really helped them to go there.
That peat moss will help keep that soil acidic for that.
And remember, Gerald, they really do tend to do better on a north or easterly exposure if you can. You know, sometimes a shady west works. You know, but anyway, that's another thing, is where you position them in the landscape. And I will say this with the azaleas: if you can plant them, like Robert was saying, now is great. Probably even through October. I wouldn't be planting them too much in December, because you know they just don't have a chance to get established at all before the cold weather. So sooner you get it in, probably the better.
Okay. Next question is: I planted some thornless blackberry plants. Not this spring, but the spring before. And they've done pretty good. In fact, they're still kind of pretty flourishing right now. But shouldn't I cut them back sometime or another?
In the winter. Yeah. Yeah. You want to cut them back, you know, once they kind of start defoliating. You want to, it's good to cut blackberries back. Yep.
Okay. Well, there's a lot of grass and weeds that's mixed in there with them. I was kind of dilatory about keeping them weeded. Can I just push a lawnmower over them, and just as long as I set it up high and and let it be cut back that way, or is I cutting them too low?
Do a little rejuvenation pruning, are you, huh? Yeah, you can, actually, because it's more of a, you know, viney, rooty plant, but that's getting a little drastic, but I've seen people really knock them down to the ground before if you have a lot of them, and they'll rebound from that, absolutely.
All right, Gerald, we appreciate the calls this morning. I didn't know we were going to bring out the forks from the kitchen.
But a little culinary trick.
There's always some trick. There's always something. No, it's a good tip, you know, instead of having to go buy expensive equipment or whatever.
That's right. Use what you got.
Go in the drawer in the kitchen and get a fork and rough up those azalea bulbs. All right, that is Robert. We also have Jeff, and they are both from the Horseman Brothers. Many years experience in landscaping and gardening, and they're answering your questions on the Garden Hotline, which is 314-436-7900. We've got to get to a break for the top of the hour, but we will continue with your phone calls. So be patient if you've already called in. We will get to your calls. And if you haven't, this is the chance to get in line, and we'll get some answers to your questions as we head into fall. Stay tuned to the Garden Hotline on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.